Mom, hold up your right arm there. She broke her wrist or fractured it. And her posting, she said, the devil is fighting. How many of you know the devil will fight? Especially when you try to do good for the Lord this morning. In the book of St. Luke, in the 23rd chapter is where we're at. And it's a strange reading this morning for a Mother's Day. But we just can do what God gives to us to do today. So Luke, the 23rd chapter, go with me if you would. Starting at verse 25, going down through and including verse 29. Verse 25, and he released unto them, for one sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the paps which never gave suck. And stop reading there at verse 29 today. This scripture is telling about a murderer being released and our Lord and Savior being crucified. It's telling about how Simon, a Cyrenian, it was laid upon him to carry the cross after Jesus had succumbed to the weight. It wasn't the cross, the wooden cross, that bore the weight, but it was the weight of your and my sins that caused him to become overloaded during that journey up to Calvary's Hill. But in the 27th verse, it says, And there was a great company of women that followed and bewailed and lamented him. In that great company of women was a special woman by the name of Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, I'd like to bring to you a message, Mary, a picture of a great mother. I've never preached from this before about Mary. But I want you to know on the forefront, because I am Baptist, Mary was a great mother, but that is all that Mary was. She was not to be one that we would pray to, that we would call upon. She was human just like you and I. But she had a very special son. A very special son. The Bible teaches us that Mary was foremost a godly woman. If we go back to the book of Luke in the first chapter and the 29th verse, when the angel appeared unto her, he said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. That salutation that was given to her in the Greek meant that she found grace in the eyes of God. That God looked at Mary and saw that she was not just another young lady who was a virgin. How many of you believe in the virgin birth today? But she also had a relationship with God. And that made her special, because there was a lot of young women in those days, just like today, but not all of them at her age had the relationship with God that she had. She must have known God, because the angel told her you have found grace in the eyes of God. He's got grace for her, and he's got grace for us today. Mary is a unique picture in the Bible because she knew about her son's destiny before he was ever born. In fact, the Bible teaches us that she knew that he was come to save his people from their sins. She knew all of this, and yet while there was joy, mothers, that she was with child and she was going to deliver a child, and even when she delivered that child, there was joy, but yet in the back of her mind, I believe there was also a lot of fear for the future of her child. How many of you mothers today have had that fear about the future of your children and what the outcome would be? Mary was a special mother in that not only was she a godly woman, but also in Luke 1:38, it says that she was obedient to God. She could have turned and said no to the angel. She didn't have to say, yes, I'll bear this child and the reproach that is coming with this child. And some of you may say, Roger, where was the reproach? The reproach was that she wasn't married and she was going to deliver a child. She was espoused. In other words, she was engaged. And in those days, if you was espoused or engaged, it was viewed the same as being married, as far as you was committed to that person. You follow me today? But for her to go and tell people that, and for them to see that she was expecting, because Rachel, you can only hide it for so long. Right? I think Rachel is with child. And mom-in-law sitting back there says she's having a girl. But there was reproach that come. But she said, in her obedience to God, in Luke 1:38, she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I wish we had more mothers like that today that would say, Lord, first of all, that they would be godly women, and then that they would follow God's will in their life. And we've got a lot of good, godly women in our church that are mothers. And I thank God. I think we got some of the best looking mothers there are. Men, you better say amen, because she'll be riding home with you here in a few minutes. But you know what the Bible says? It teaches us that real beauty is not necessarily, and don't take this wrong, women, what you can see on the outside, but what lives on the inside. Because there's a lot, and I got to be careful with this. There's a lot of women that the world looks at and says are beautiful, but if they don't have God, they don't have anything. But a godly woman, as he says in Proverbs 31, it is to be reverenced, is to be respected, is to be lifted up, and is to be honored this morning. Some of you today, you have your mother with you, or your mother is still alive. Many of us, our mothers have already gone on to be with the Lord. But I thank God for every godly mother, mine and yours and all the others. My mom has gone on to be with the Lord, but I'm thankful I will see her again very soon. And I've had some other mothers in my life. Some of your mothers touched my life. And I used to have one that sat right over here that had no biological children, but she had all of us. Hallelujah. We've had many mothers to touch our life. And I want to brag on them this morning that godly mothers are not just mothers to their children, but they're mothers to many children. Because their touch is far reaching. Not only was she a godly woman and she was obedient to God, but she was a testifier. The Bible says that as soon as the angel departed from her in Luke 1:39, that she traveled to go over and be with her cousin Elizabeth. She wanted to tell her of the good news that had been told to her. I believe Mary was excited. I'm going to be a mother, but not just be a mother. I'm going to be the mother to the one that shall be called Jesus. And when she got there to tell Elizabeth, the Bible says that when Elizabeth heard her salutation, that Elizabeth being also 6 months with child, that when she heard it, Ray, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Oh. I believe that mother, Mary, when she was telling that mother to be also Elizabeth, about John, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his cousin, the babe leaped in her womb. Moms, when you tell your children about God, even when they're in the womb, your children can grow to know the Lord in a very special way. And as Lloyd said in Sunday school this morning, mothers, women, we thank God for them because in most cases the women are closer to God than the men are. I didn't hear an amen from a single man. They are. Thank you. A mom will pray for you and carry that burden until she sees the action come from God. Some of us men will pray it once or twice and then we'll put it on the back burner. There's nothing like a mother's love. And I've seen it in my mother, I've seen it in Beck's mother, and I see it in Beck and all of you mothers. You mothers would do anything for your children. When us fathers would say, just move along. Or sometimes that we would be like the scripture when a man said a neighbor knocked upon his door and we'd say, we're asleep and the children are in bed. Leave us alone. But not a mother. Not a mother. In Luke, the second chapter in the 48th verse, it teaches us that Mary worried about her son. How many of you mothers today are worried about your children? See, Mary is a complete picture of a godly mother, a great mother. She was worried about her son because you remember in Luke 2 and 48 that they had been down to Jerusalem and they had gone away, going back to their hometown, and they was a day's journey away, and they looked around, and her son was nowhere to be found. And she turned around, her and Joseph turned around and went back to find him in the temple amongst the doctors. And listen what she said. Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. They was worried about him. And you say, how could they be so worried and not know he was missing for a day? At that time, there was a big caravan that traveled. And seeing him when they departed amongst the group, no doubt, and then going a day's journey and looking around and not finding him, it worried him. And they went back to town to try to find him. And when they found him, this must have pleased Mary. Because when they found him, they found him in the temple amongst the doctors of the law, teaching and asking questions. And when Mary approached him and said, We have worried about you. We've been sorrowing. She heard some words that reminded her that she was God's only begotten son. Because he said, I must be about my father's business. It reminded her, he's my son, but he's also God's son. And yet I believe that that fear of what lied ahead for him was constantly upon her mind. The Bible also teaches us that she was proud of her son. How many of you mothers are proud of your children? For all of their accomplishments. I know that there's mothers in our congregation this morning that would not, there's nothing that would make you more proud than have your son or daughter sitting next to you in church and in the center of God's will. And for those that are lost, moms, there's nothing that would give you greater joy than seeing them born again by the Spirit of God. You was there and you delivered them, gave them life, but you'd like to see them get eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I believe she was proud of him when he turned the water into wine. I mean, my heart and swells up anytime my boys or Tiffany growing up, anytime they would do something that really they was proud of, it made me proud. Even when they struck out or they missed a basket. Life is more than just one part. There are many different parts of life. But they may have missed a basket and they may have struck out, but they hit it out of the park when they came to know the Lord as their Savior. She was proud of her son when she would hear him speak about his father. How many of you moms today and dads as well can say when you hear your children talk about God and his blessings upon you and them, it just makes your heart leap with joy to hear that kind of talk. She was proud, no doubt, when she saw him perform or heard about him performing miracles, helping other mothers' children along the journey. Sometimes we put the value on the wrong things in life. It's not on the sports. It's not in just the academics. It's not just in the career. But the greatest accomplishment for any mother and father is to see their children born again and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. She worried about her son and his future. When will it come to pass what I was told at his conception? When will it come to pass that no doubt she knew about Isaiah, that he would be brought as a lamb before the shear, and as a sheep before the shear, and as a lamb. And he opened not his mouth. She knew about the scripture where he said, by his stripes we are healed. No doubt she knew about the scripture that said, cursed is everyone that hangeth from a tree. And when she would hear him talk about, I came to give my life so that you could have life, I believe it broke her heart. But yet, to see him doing God's will, it also pleased her. Because for this reason came he into this world. I believe that she worried about him when she would see the uprisings caused everywhere he went. And when he would preach and when he would teach and perform the miracles, every time he did something good, here was the religious folks to try to take him out and destroy him. When she heard this, no doubt that fear escalated. And as he, knowing the law, can I go there for a few minutes? Knowing that the law said that in order to be a priest, he had to be above or be at 30 years of age. When he got closer to that, that fear, no doubt, even got stronger. Because you remember, we hear the silent years, if you'll have it, from the time he turned water into wine until you see him come down by the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing, and he said, I have need to be baptized of you. And you know what John said, and I don't want to cover that, but I do want to cover that once he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Mary had all of these things to worry about. Moms, I know you have a lot to worry about. You worry about so many things, and yet some of them, if I can put you to rest for a minute, some of them you ought not worry about. And this is not set too well with some of the men this morning. But you worry about the house and how clean is it. You worry about the kids and their appearance. And you worry about making sure that they've done everything that they're supposed to do in the mornings. Have they brushed their teeth? Have they brushed their hair? Are they fit to go out in public? You worry about their grades. You worry about their acceptance in school amongst their peers. You worry about what they're going to do in the future. When what we ought to do is put it in the hands of God and say, Lord, you're bigger than I am. You could take better care of them than what I can. But it's hard to do. She loved her son. There is nothing like a mother's love in this world to compare. You young people, someday you'll grow up. Some of you already are. I heard a man tell a young man this morning that whatever woman gets you is going to be a lucky woman. I heard that. I told Jeff last weekend, it was their anniversary celebration, and I told Jeff, I said, you're one lucky man to have Tara. But then I also looked at Tara and said, you're one lucky woman to have Jeff. How many of you know raising kids is a hard job? Amen? But how many of you will agree with me? You wouldn't trade it for anything this world has to offer. Because even though it's a hard job, it's a rewarding job as well. And you say it's a job? You know, sometimes people will look at mom and say, or some, maybe even some of you women, and say, you don't work? I'll get some points here. There is no job harder than a mother's job. Amen? I've often said to Becky and others, before I would stay home and watch and raise kids, I'd work two full-time jobs. And I would. You know why? Because a job you can walk away from. The position of motherhood you cannot walk away from. How many of you moms go to bed at night worried? Wake up worried. Doesn't matter if it's Sunday or if it's Saturday. All week long, they worry about their children. Mary was here in this crowd from the scripture that we read when it says the women that was gathered there, and they didn't just cry, but they bewailed and lamented. Have you ever heard somebody cry so hard that it took their breath? Some of us have been there. Some of us, as Lloyd said this morning in Sunday school, that when we got the news about Mom about to leave this world, it just devastated our lives. Because we'll never have anybody that'll be like Mom again. And I challenge some of you young women, as it says in the book of Proverbs, that many daughters have done well, if I can paraphrase it, but none compare to what their mother did. But I want to commend these mothers this morning as well. Many of you, I believe that your mothers would be proud to see you where you're at today in your life. And they would reverence you. And I think we ought to reverence all mothers. And not all mothers are biological. There are some that may have never had a child, but been a great mother to many of us. And there are many children that's been raised by a woman that was not their biological mother. But that woman gave them a mother's love. All mothers are to be honored for the sacrifices that they've made. Even to the point, children, every one of us, to bring us into this world, your mother put her life in jeopardy. Even today, there are still mothers that die with all the advances of medical care that still die giving birth to children. Pain like you've never experienced before. That's why God made women to have babies and not men. Because women can take it, men can't. Some of you men, I got the women smiling. Some of you men with a little thing like a kidney stone act like you're about to die. And they say that relation to birth, a kidney stone for a man, is about as close to giving birth as you can get as far as pain. And I've said this, and don't fall out with me. If I had to go through that pain, there'd be no kids. Amen. 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 I love my kids, and I'll do anything for them. I'll work from sun up till sundown. But I'm not going through that knowingly. And women, you know, the first time I say, well, you don't know what you're getting into. But if you have more than one, you know what you're getting into. And what is wrong with you? That's just Roger. That's Roger. Okay? Don't fall out with me. Sacrifices made for their children. Many of you kids don't realize the sacrifices that Mom made for you. The sacrifices of putting all of her hopes and dreams on the back burner while she helped you pursue your hopes and dreams. And I'll share this with you as well. Mary not only was with him often, but Mary was a single mother at this point. Somewhere along the journey, Joseph had died. He disappeared from the picture. Bible doesn't tell us what happened, does it, Ray? He just disappeared. And Mary was a single mother, but yet Christ was not her only child. But she didn't have any more children until Christ was her first child. God was the father of her first child. Joseph was the father of the rest of them. She had love. She was there with him. And you say, why do you say Joseph wasn't there? Because when Christ was on the cross, he told the one that loved him, he said, "Behold my mother." And he answered back, "Behold thy mother." In other words, Christ was saying, "You take care of her." Children, can I say this to you today? Take care of your mom. Because she won't always be with you. You say, that's so far in the future. We don't know when somebody's going to leave this world. My mom left at a very young age. 60-year-old left this world. And as I get closer to that age, that's on my mind. In fact, there's not many days that she's not on my mind. And every April the 1st, I'm reminded of the brokenness that I had. When I got the phone call and they said, "We're in the last hours." I remember it well to this day. I was in the garage when I got the call, and I called Becky at work, and I couldn't even tell her what was going on because the pain was so great that I felt like the air had been sucked out of my lungs. Love her with all your heart. As she has loved you with all of her heart. Some of you kids say, like I did, I grew up and I didn't think mom and dad loved me very much because of the way they taught us and the things that we had to do. But you know what love does? Love makes them strong even when they want to give in to your little tantrums and your fits that you throw. There was times when mom and dad had to tell me no when they knew it would crush me. You can't go with that crowd. You can't go to that dance. You can't go to that ball game. You have to be in the house by a certain time. I thought they didn't want me to have any friends, didn't want me to have any enjoyment at all. And what they was doing was trying to protect me the best that they could. Mary and Joseph protected their son. Look how many times they traveled around because the devil was after him. I believe we ought to do everything to protect the sanctity of womanhood, marriage, and motherhood. And you notice, I'll put this in because it's on my heart. Jesus had a mother and a father. He didn't have two women or two men. It turns my stomach when we see what we have in our world today that is allowed to adopt children and raise them in a homosexual lifestyle. You know what we're doing? We're raising more homosexuals. And you say, "Roger, you don't know that that's happened." If you grow up in a house where they smoke, you are more apt to smoke when you get older. If you grow up in a house where they drink, you're more apt to drink when you get older. Whatever is accepted at home, that's what you'll do. And I don't want you mom and dads to walk away with the blame today. There's a lot of our kids that's doing things that they know better than. Because we taught them better. But when they become of age, they're out there. And you say, does that mean you just turned them loose? How many of you moms today still worried about your adult children? Amen. You say, "Roger, you ain't saying much to the dads today." This is Mother's Day. You'll have your day. Everything that we said about Mary in a picture of a great mother is also can also be said about the bride of her son. How many of you mothers like to pick out the bride for your son? You say, Roger, you're talking about arranged marriages. And don't fall out with me, but I think sometimes if they was arranged, they might be better. Because we would pick one that was in the church, for lack of a better word. But did you know you might pick them out and they might be the worst one that you could pick? Amen? I mean, I'm looking around the church this morning, but Harvey wouldn't pick Rob for Sharon. She wouldn't pick him because he had long hair. But you know what? Sharon, after Rob finally convincing her for a period of time, y'all know about that, Harvey would tell you that he's the finest son-in-law that you could ever ask for. You know what made him fine? He got right with God. Amen. That makes everything right. Makes it all right. Mary did not pick out her son's wife. His wife was chosen from the foundation of the world. That he would have a glorious wife that would give birth to many children. And I stand before you today as one of those children. I am Christ's son. You say, I thought you was God's son. That goes all the way back to Manasseh and Ephraim. If you want to go then in there, see me after church, but Manasseh and Ephraim weren't Israel's children. They were Joseph's children. But before Israel died, he took them in his hands and he blessed them. Oh, how I wish we would bless our children again. You say, it's hard. You just keep blessing them. You keep praying over them. You keep speaking to them through the Word of God. And you keep telling the devil, leave my children alone, because you have that power in the name of Jesus to help get them right with the Lord. Let me close. Everything that Proverbs 31, everything that Mary, as she was lamenting there, I believe she was crying uncontrollably as she saw her son hanging upon a cross at Calvary. But she knew that would not be the end of him. Because he told her, as he told many, I'm going away, but I'll come again. When he comes again, he's not bringing solo Mary with him. He's bringing all those that died believing and were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ with him. And we all shall be resurrected in a newness of life like we've never seen before. And you say, won't Mary be lifted up? There's only three thrones in heaven. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Mary there is no different than you and I. But she left a great testimony of what a godly mother ought to be. She went with and supported her son when the world was saying, away with him. I've seen my grandmother when I was young stand by her children, her boys, when they was put into the penitentiary. And she would walk away with tears rolling down her face. You see, Grandpa was nowhere to be found. But to Granny, that was her child. How many of you moms still see your child as that little one you held in your arms? It's just now, instead of babbling and whining and crying for a bottle, they're just running their mouth, which causes them to get in trouble. But you still love them as much. In fact, you love them more today than you ever have loved them. Even though when you was there on the delivery table and you held that child for the first time in your arms, you thought, man, there's no greater love than this right here. But look at that love that you have now for that child. And children, just like the church loves us, your mother loves you more than you'll ever know. As I was there with my mom, as she was getting ready to leave, just me and her there, and she looked at me, and in her broken voice, she said, "I love you more than you'll ever know." Those words stay with my heart. And when I'm in church, I feel that same kind of love that God manifests to us. And I can understand Mary's brokenness. I can understand that. Today, you that are unsaved, there's a mother that is here that can give you life like you've never experienced it before. You might be like Nicodemus and say, "How can I be born again?" You cannot be. You cannot enter back into your mother's womb a second time. But he wasn't talking. Christ wasn't talking about the physical birth. How many of you have had a spiritual birth? Amen. And I now have a spiritual mother that cares for me, looks out for me, loves me, guides me. And sometimes kids today may not relate with this, but my mom and dad loved me so much that they even whipped us. You say they can't love you if they whip you. If they don't whip you, they don't love you. That one gets out on the airways, I probably get in trouble. They didn't beat us, but they whipped us. Can I say this? If you're a child of God, you're going to be whipped. And if you're not whipped and you're acting up, or as they, some of the old timers used to say, you're showing out, you're not a child of God. Because God chastises those that are his children. Let me put this in. That's what's wrong with our school system. That's what's wrong with our country and the workplace, is that they had no chastisement at home, and now we've got a bunch of heathens out running around. Mother's Day. How many of you had or have a great mother? Say amen. In fact, why don't you stand to your feet and say, "Thank you, Lord." Would you do that? If you had a great mother, you ought to say, "Thank God." And how many of you got the mother church that loves you today? You know, and I'm trying to close while Rob and Sharon get the song. Mom and Dad don't always say yes. There's times that they say no. But if you ask God for salvation on this Sunday morning, God will, you'll have a birth through the spiritual church. We tried to explain that Friday night. It's a birth. As they used to sing that song, "I've had a birth I don't remember, and I've had one that I can't forget." That could be you this morning. I ask you, while they sing a verse of a song, we've all known a mother's love. Every one of us. And you say, well, my mom wasn't that loving. Well, you know, there are some people that have experienced that. There's children that's been abandoned by their mother. And because of that, they got ill. There's some that hasn't been raised right because of their mother. And they hold that. You got to let all that go. And say unto God, Lord, I want this spiritual mother that loves like Mary did and like these women here. I want that mother that loves me and helps me, guides me, and gives me that new birth so I can go to heaven when this life shall come to an end. While they sing a song, I ask you, Mary was a picture of a godly mother. You can have a godly mother. Would you come this morning? Would you come today? Come and trust the Lord as your Savior. And you will experience the love that only a mother can give to you. Anybody this morning that will make that step and say, Lord, I want to be born again. I want to be saved and experience this spiritual mother in my own life. Would you make that step today? Come on today. Maybe somebody just needs to come and pray and say, Lord, and church, I have messed up. I failed you. Why don't you come? Come and get your heart right with God. Because the mother loves you today. She may not be like where you're at, but she loves you. Well, they get one more verse ready. I'm going to make it a manifold invitation. Any way you need to come, make that step. Even if God is leading you here, you take that step. You're a member of a different church and God is leading you here. You follow your heart. Whatever it is that you need to do, come while God speaks to you. Yes. Surrender it all to God. I surrender it all. God bless you this morning. I reflect back on, you know, mothers and their responsibilities, their task, and sometimes dads, we look at their relationship with the kids. I mean, the boys in TIFF will talk to Beck about stuff that they won't even approach me about. Maybe that's because I'd say, just grow up. Or maybe she says that and I would just pamper. I don't know. It would depend on the circumstance, right? How many of you sometimes give in and other times you say you need to just buckle up, right? Yeah, I have a hard time with some of those at times, but I appreciate all of our mothers. Again, I'll close with saying we've got some of the best looking mothers there are. Amen. They got the message. They got the message. And I tell you what, there's no value that can be placed on a godly woman. No value. Her price is far above rubies. And her husband so trust in her. I wouldn't have a woman I couldn't trust. Amen. You say, now, Roger, you just told us about how good we are. Don't go sideways on us. God bless you today. We got flyers up here for the mothers. All you mothers, come up here. We want to come around and shake your hands. And while you're up here, you can get your flyers. I believe that we ought to give them to them while they're living. And you say, does that mean I got to go out and buy flyers today? No. You know what your mom would like more than anything else? You. You. Not anything you can buy or give. They want you. God bless you. I'm done. Come up here, mothers, if you would. We don't need a song. I try to relieve Rob and Sharon as much as I can because she's a mother. She needs to be up here. And remind everybody, there is no service tonight. All right? So you mothers come up here, all of it.